open your Bibles to the book of Colossians this morning. We'll be in the book of Colossians to start. We're going to be all over the place, so I hope you have done your finger exercises for the week. I want to preface what I have to go over today. God has been very consistent in my life. I'm not very much able to preach very far from what God is doing with me personally. So you're getting my quiet times. How's that? So because you're getting my quiet times, you don't have to take the message personally. Amen? Since it wasn't directed to you. But in the book of Colossians, there was a verse that came up, and I've been pondering this verse now for, a couple weeks, really. And I'd like you to look at verse 9, if you would. It's Paul's prayer. And he says this, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." And here's my verse. "Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for a chance to be together with your people and to worship in your house. And we praise you and we thank you for what you've done in our lives through Jesus Christ. And we ask now for you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, to teach us, to direct us, that your Son might receive all the glory. And God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. So there's kind of a principle in the Bible, and the principle goes like this. If God has done something in you and for you, then that should compel you or drive you to do something different in your life because, and it's always the same thing, he's coming again. Let me say that again. If God's done something for you, for example, in chapter 3, look there real quick, I'll give you the principle, chapter 3 of Colossians, it's right there. He says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory." Amen? So if Christ has done something for you, then it compels you to do something instead in his name because you know that Christ is coming back again. Now, I want to focus primarily on the middle verse here in verse 13 because this is the one that's been driving me, and it says this, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Aren't you excited today to have been delivered? I want you to notice that you were translated into a kingdom. So apparently, darkness does not have a kingdom. You see, all things were created and all things are by Jesus Christ and they are for him. And in the end, he will be the only kingdom. Amen. But we've been delivered today from the power of darkness. And I get pretty excited about that. So I want to make a statement to you this morning. The power of darkness is a person. It's not a thing. It's an entity. You know him as Satan. He's one who fell. It's interesting to note that Satan was called the light bearer. He was the one who reflected the glory of the Lord. He reflected the light of God as they worshiped in the heavens, according to Ezekiel and Isaiah. And then there came, Bible says, iniquity was found in him and he fell. And in that moment, he went from the light bearer to the darkness, to the prince of the darkness, to the king of the darkness. Amen. So I would like to go back, and we're going to start at the beginning. So let's go to Psalm 90. Let's go to Psalm 90, because I want to focus on this thing about what kingdom we've been translated into. So in Psalm chapter 90, let's go to verse 2. Psalm chapter 90. Everybody there? All right. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, verse 1. Verse 2, ready? Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever there has formed the earth, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. If you would go over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1 with me for just a second. That's in your New Testament. Kind of toward the back, the book of Hebrews, right before James. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, verse 1, who at sundry times, that's diverse times and diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, that would be our days, spoken unto us by whom? His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, notice this now, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What intrigued me about the verse in Colossians is that you and I were delivered from the power of darkness, and the Bible says we were translated into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son that he loved. What kind of threw me about that is normally when you say, hey, I went from darkness, I went into what? Yeah, that would be what would be logical to write there, wouldn't it? That we were translated into the kingdom of light. And of course, all of you are going to go, well, duh, Wade, Jesus is the light. And you would be correct, and we were going to look at that. But what I want you to know before we look at it is this. Jesus Christ has lived from everlasting to everlasting. He existed before the worlds were made. He existed before there was anything. And by the power of his word, he speaks into existence all things. For all things are created by him, and they're sustained by him. They're upheld by him, by the power of his word. The Bible tells us at the end in the book of Revelation that when he's done, the worlds and everything in it will roll up like a scroll. And I have often wondered what the word will be when Jesus says, roll it up. What a power to imagine that all that your eyes can see, all that you can behold, Jesus in one fell swoop will roll it all up and make it disappear. So the beginning is Genesis chapter 1. Let's go over there. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, we don't know for sure. There's all kinds of theories on when Lucifer fell. Some say it's between verse 1 and verse 2. I'm not here to debate that this morning. What I will tell you is this. We know for a fact that he fell before God created Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen? What I do want to focus on this morning is this. I want you to think with me for just a second. You say, Wade, why did you go back to the beginning? Because I got to thinking about it, and I thought, what was the very first thing God did? He created the heavens and the earth, and then the very first thing that came out of God's mouth was, let there be light. You see, you and I were translated, the Bible says, into the kingdom of his dear son. We were made saints of the light, in the light. And the very first thing that God did was create a separation in this world. He separated light from darkness. He made a division right down the middle. Clayton will text me later this week and he will say, Wade, do you have a title for your message? And my answer is always no. And so then I have to make one up. So this is the title today. Everybody with me? There is no gray. You know how you get gray? Black and white. Now, if you go on Google like I did, they're going to tell you there's all kinds of other colors you can do to get gray, but that's if you want a green gray or a blue gray or a yellow gray. But if you want just good old-fashioned plain gray, Benjamin Moore, straight gray, it's black and white. And you mix. You see, the power of darkness held us. The Bible says you and I were in darkness. You and I were dead in trespasses and sins. You and I had no hope. We couldn't see anything for the darkness. In fact, if you do a good study in the Bible, darkness in the Bible is almost always judgment. There are angels reserved in darkness for leaving their first estate, according to 2 Peter chapter 3. There will be outer darkness for those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ and are cast into darkness forever and ever. So dark, the Bible says, that you'll not be able to see your hand in front of your face. It was darkness that God cast over Egypt when he delivered the people of Egypt, out of Israel. See, darkness is very serious to the Lord. And there's a power of darkness. And that power is run by our enemy, the devil. And what God has been convicting me about and what God is working in me about, and maybe you have no problem with me with this, but this is what God's dealing with Wade about. Then why, Wade, do you dabble in darkness? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look. How about that? But I want to make a point. I want you to truly understand the Bible's very, very important. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto our path. You say, Wade, I need light. I want to know more about light. I want to understand, where do I go to get light? And the Bible says, to the Bible. To the Bible. There's no light elsewhere. In fact, let's look at that. Go all the way to the back of your Bible to 1 John. 1 John. Book of 1 John, it's way back before the book of Revelation and all those, and we're in chapter 1. Chapter 1, the Bible says this. That which was from the beginning, verse 1, we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word, capital W, of life. Reference to Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is what? Let's say it again. In him is what? No darkness at all. None. Zero. Nada. Zip. Pure light. In fact, let me tell you how pure the light was. When God said, let there be light, if you'll read, he didn't make the sun and the moon until about six verses later. Which means he was the light. You see, he was the light that broke the darkness. In fact, read a little bit further. The Bible says this. He says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So remember back in Colossians, the Bible told us that you and I were called saints of light. And so when you and I came to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that is, you and I were lost, we were in darkness. There was no good in us. There's still no good in us except for Jesus, amen. And so the Bible said that, Wade, you were in darkness and you were stumbling around thinking that you were enjoying real life, thinking that you were doing something important, thinking that you were making a difference, thinking that all these things, but the reality was I was dead in trespasses and sins in total darkness because I was a product of the God of this world who had tricked my father in the garden, Adam, and I had bore his sin nature and I was born in darkness and I was going to die in darkness except that God said, let there be light. So turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Everybody there? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God. Remember when we said that he is from everlasting to everlasting. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not that light, capital L, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm going to pause for just a second. No doubt if you've been saved for any length of time, somebody has asked you the question, what about a group of people that is on the other side of the earth or they've never heard the gospel, et cetera, et cetera? The Bible says that he was the true light and he lighteth how many men that come into the world? Every man. You see, every person is born with light. Every person is born with the knowledge that there is a creator. And then you're educated out of it. But Jesus was the true light. And when you're born into this world, he gives you a little bit of light to see where that light will go. And so I wanted you to just know that God is not on the hook for man's questions about what happens in this world with souls. I personally believe that the character of God is flawless and that he's perfect and he's fair and he's just. And I have no doubt in my mind that God is fair with all human beings with regards to their eternity. Amen. He says this, and he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. If you would go over to John chapter 12, real quick. And if you would look with me at verse 44. John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me, I want you to notice the phrasing now, should not abide in darkness. I want to stop for just a second there. Well, actually, let's go a little further. And he says, and if any man hear my words, now watch, and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, that is, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is what? Life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So let's get my picture. I'm in my darkness. Maybe you're here today and you're in that darkness. I don't know. And so I was in my darkness and was thinking that I had light. I was thinking that life was good. I really couldn't pinpoint there was any problems. But then the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. And it was brought to my attention that there was darkness in me, that I had transgressed God, the word. And then it was brought to my attention that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into this world to bear witness that he was the light and to bear witness to the Father. And so he lived a sinless life. That is a light of only light. There was, the Bible says, no darkness in him at all. And then that light lived. And then there came a special day called Calvary. And on that special day, he bore my darkness. He bore your darkness. He bore the darkness of the whole world. It's kind of ironic, isn't it, that while Jesus was being crucified on the cross at Calvary, as the light was being extinguished, the whole world went dark. Why? Because upon the light was all of our darkness. And as I began to ponder that, and as God is working on me about that, I said, if then I am in Christ, if then I am a saint of light, does it not compel me to walk in the light? Does it not demand of me that I would then raise my standard to be different than the world which lies in darkness? Does it not compel us to be different than we were? I don't know about you, but I've talked to so many different people in different walks of life, and I hear one thing over and over and over, and that is this. People feel that the world is dark. Your phone is dark. Social media is dark. TV is dark. If you've been alive for any length of time, like me, You can hardly imagine what comes on the TV these days. But yet we're tempted, aren't we? We get tired, we get lazy, we get weary, and we think to ourselves, you know what? What's a little Netflix? What's a little time on YouTube? What's a little TikTok? Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not saying this at you. I'm trying to tell you where God is convicting me. I wanted to clarify that. This has nothing to do with you. But God said, wait, you're a saint of light. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said it this way. If thine eye be full of light, then the whole body is full of light. But if thine eye have darkness, then the whole body is full of evil. And then he said, be careful that the light in you is not evil. I was thinking about like when we want to be really good at something. Maybe anybody besides me ever kind of thought, oh, I'd like to just be so good at that. And one of the things I'm finding out as I get older is that it's really hard to be good at a lot of things, amen? And if you're a man, it's twice as hard because we all know we cannot multitask. And so therefore, right, what's difficult? Here's what's really difficult. What's really difficult is to stay focused. What's really difficult is to stay locked in. What's really difficult is to stay with a singleness of purpose. Why? Because there's lots of distractions. There's lots of things that want to pull us off course. There's lots of things that want to tempt us and lead us astray and move us from that goal in our lives. And so I assume this morning, I'm making an assumption, if I'm off base, forgive me, but you're not here by happenstance. You're not here by randomness. You're here because you have an impelling desire to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And somewhere deep within you, because you called upon the name of the Lord and he made you a saint, has given you some drive in your life to be all that Jesus wants you to be so that you can see him in all of his glory and be said, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Is that not our goal? And here we are in the crux of a major decision in our church's life to find a pastor to fulfill someone who had served for 35 years, who, by the way, texted me last night, is doing just great. Do we not need to be all light? Do we dare select a man for the pulpit with darkness in us? You say, Wade, what darkness? Remember gray, a little bit of black starts to turn the white a different color. See, I make this mistake. I think I'm immune. I think because I hear the word every now and then, or I fellowship with you, or I say a couple prayers a week, or whatever, I think, well, it's just kind of bouncing off me like I've got this bulletproof vest, amen? And that program didn't affect me. Those people at work swearing didn't affect me. That thing I let in my eye didn't affect me. That song that I heard, it didn't affect me. Oh, it's okay, just a little bit. Please hear me, I'm not condemning. I'm telling you that I am realizing I am not capable of keeping it off unless mine eye be solely focused on Jesus Christ. Because in the end, he is all there is. In fact, I'll finish here. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. And while you're turning there to a Revelation chapter 21, I want to read this to you. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. See, that's why for me it's so crucial that we're in God's Word. That's where the mirror says, wait, it's a little off color. It could be my attitude. It could be what I'm doing. It could be my attitude at work. It could be how I'm approaching things. It could be any number of things. And then I'm reminded that inside of me, glory to God, I was delivered from the power of darkness, from the person of darkness, and I was translated into the kingdom of light, to the person of light. You see, we're not talking about things, we're talking about people. And you and I have been placed into Jesus Christ, and now dwelling inside of us is the light. And the Bible says it compels us, it must drive us to reflect the light. My members should bear light. My desire should be light. Maybe this has never happened to you, it's happened to me. How many of you have ever been walking along pretty well with the Lord and all of a sudden you let something into your life and you realized a little bit down the road you were off track? Anybody besides me get there? Yeah. When you wake up and you realize that God was gracious to show you light, isn't it wonderful to have life? It's almost like you can feel it flow back into your being if you're saved today. Because you see, in darkness is death. And so I got to thinking about this idea of, if Jesus Christ did that for you on Calvary and gave you light and life, then he asks us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen? Well, why would that be? Well, in Revelation chapter 21, if you would look with me at verse 22, yes. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of the God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? God started with, let there be light, and he's going to end with, let there be light. And in the meantime, our job is to try to be the best light we can be. Amen. He's a good God. Aren't you grateful you were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son? Thank you for listening this morning, and maybe you're here today and you don't know what that means to have been translated out of darkness and into light. Well, there are many of us in here that would testify to you it is a wonderful, wonderful experience. Amen. And so as we bow our heads, if that's you, I'd encourage you, Pastor Rich is up here. Maybe just come on up front and grab Pastor Rich and say, you know what, I don't know what you're talking about, this out of darkness and into light. Maybe this morning you're dabbling. Maybe you've let things in your life like I've done, like all of us have done, that you know you thought you were immune to, but you're realizing it's affecting you. Would you take some time this morning and let Jesus work in your heart and give it to him? Turn it over to him. Because the light always wins. It brings life. Amen. And so as we pray, you respond as you need to, Father.